He was such a great emperor that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed insuperable kingly opulences. Why did he want to give up everything, including his life? Purport. There was nothing undesirable in his life. He was quite a young man and could enjoy life with power and opulence. So there was no question of retiring from active life. There was no difficulty in collecting the state taxes because he was so powerful and chivalrous that even his enemies would come to him and bow down at his feet and surrender all wealth for their own benefit. Maharaj Parikshit was a pious king. He conquered his enemies, and therefore the kingdom was full of prosperity. There was enough milk, grains, and metals, and all the rivers and mountains were full of potency. So materially, everything was satisfactory. Therefore, there was no question of untimely giving up his kingdom and life. The sages were eager to hear about all this. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Shapadantikam Bandehang Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namanti yat padaniketam atmanaha, shivaya aniyatanani shatravaha, katam savira shriyamanga duschajam, yuvaishatot srashtum aho sahasubhi. Oh, this is astonishing that a king with these assets would suddenly give up everything. Generally, we might expect that a king would renounce in old age. When Bill Gates, in his 60s, I suppose, gave up being chief executive officer of Microsoft, it was understandable. If he'd given up the post when he was 35, it would have been astonishing. Why is he doing that? So Why was the king prepared to give up his kingdom and even his life when he had everything and full facility to enjoy everything? In old age, okay, a man gives up eating gulab jamuns and, you know, big plates of halwa and all of that kind of stuff because he can't digest it anyway. It's forced. He has no choice. And similarly, the old man gives up his old wife and his old home and his old job. Then, all right, maybe we understand. He's done it. He's tired of it. It's not enjoyable for him anymore. But for a young man to give up his young wife, to give up his position when he's young and full of power, that's astonishing. So the sages were eager to hear about this, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, Rukmini Dasi asked Srila Prabhupada, how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu display his six opulences? And Prabhupada gave a short answer, but then the next morning at the class, Prabhupada started out by elaborating on, speaking more elaborately in answer to her question. And he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was beautiful, Gaur-sundar, he's beautiful golden complexion, so he had beauty. He was famous. He was so influential that he could rouse a whole group to oppose Chankaji. He had strength, beauty, wealth. He had sufficient capital also. But his real opulence was his renunciation. His real opulence was his renunciation. At a young age, he gave up everything. He had a beautiful wife, young, beautiful, devoted, qualified wife, goddess of fortune, in fact, and a devoted mother at home who was dependent on him, his widowed mother. And still, for the benefit of the world, he gave up everything and took sannyas. So Prabhupada said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his most prominent opulence was his renunciation. These six opulences are attractive. Krishna's attractive because he has six opulences. So someone will be attracted, oh, he has so much wealth. Someone is attracted, so beautiful, so wise. Whoever has wisdom or knowledge or wealth. So these opulences, as Prabhupada calls them, are attractive. And here the sages, especially sages, would be attracted. How is it that he gave up everything at such a young age and in such fortunate circumstances, and especially even his life? No one wants to give up his life. Give up, what does it save? Give up a village to one person to save a village, or, you know, but give up everything, give up every, your wealth to save your life. Give up everything to save your life. I'd forgotten the details. It's a Chanakya shlok. Give up everything to save your life. And here he's giving up his life voluntarily. So the, oh, this is astonishing. Well, maybe he was pressed in by his enemies. Your enemies are all crowding around you and you commit suicide rather than be conquered by your enemies. But no, Shatrava, his enemies, Namanti yat padaniketam. They would offer obeisances at his feet. And Atmana and Shivaya Haniya Dhanani. And they would voluntarily bring their wealth and offer it at his feet for their own welfare. This is good for us to do. You could look at that and say, well, they were intimidated. They thought, well, for our own good, if we know what's good for us, we'd better surrender and offer. Or the other way is, when you're under a benevolent administration, you're happy to bring to pay your taxes. In the present administration, everyone wants to avoid taxes because we know it's a one-way street. You send the taxes up, and the rain never falls. They just evaporate all of your assets, and they evaporate. They're gone. Distributed somewhere above. But if those assets were being abundantly returned with value added, then we'd say, sure, tax me. Because it's coming back. So in Maharaj Yudhisthira's reign, it was like that. Even the demigods were cooperating. The seasons were regulated. The rain would fall when it was supposed to fall. That sounds nice, but if you're a farmer, that's crucial. The rain is predictable. At such and such day, the rain will begin. Such and such day, the rains will end. That kind of cooperation Maharaj Yudhisthira was getting. And Parikshit Maharaj also was a pious king. He wasn't trying to squeeze more and more from an unwilling earth. Even the earth was cooperating. Take, take, take. Just like the cows. When the cows are loved, they give. And you don't have to inject them with this and do all sorts of nasty things. We have a cow in Spain. Is our Spanish Madhiji here? No. But that cow has been giving milk for years. I think the cow had a calf, but so long ago no one can remember. And still the cow is giving milk. Because of love. So when there's love, when there's generosity, then everyone feels, let's cooperate. Kings were not despised. Now we despise the very idea of king. Except as a token monarch whose visage can be displayed on the currency. But if the monarch actually tried to take control of the country would rebel. We don't want a king other than a name for display. We don't want czars, kings, any of these people taking charge. We want democracy. We want everyone to be in charge. Because we have such bad experience of kings, that they live like lowlifes at the expense of the state treasury, squandering the assets that the citizens have worked so hard for, and returning practically nothing. So who wants them? Who needs them? Who can tolerate them? But Parikshit Maharaj was such a generous and capable and Krishna conscious king that people were happy to live under his administration. There was a political party in India some time ago called the Ram Rajya Party. which Prabhupada mentions from time to time obliquely in his books. And their idea was to bring back the kingdom of Ram, with, of course, mundane administrators and kings, but without Ram, as Prabhupada pointed out. Because everyone was happy in Ram's kingdom, so let's bring back that kingdom without Ram. But the idea is there that the king was so worthy that his enemies, out of fear or respect or a genuine feeling of servitude, of cooperation, would offer their respects at his feet and bring cash. Tanani, they would bring wealth and offer it to him. Even his enemies, Shatrava. For the enemies, there could have been some element of, we'd better do this or else. And Prabhupada points out, I was hearing the other morning, that the king wasn't taking charge of all these other kingdoms just for sense gratification. But it was to see that they were Krishna conscious, that there was proper administration, that everything was going in the direction of Krishna. That was their purpose. So Shivaya, for their own welfare, their own good, the kings would offer everything, so there was no problem in that department. Veera, he was valiant, chivalrous, powerful. Our Latin word vir, man, comes from the same root, you could say, vira, viril in English. So he was powerful. Vira Shriyamanga Dustyajam. And he had such opulences that no one could surpass him. He had no competitors. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, it's in the second chapter and it's in the 11th chapter too. Let's see. Oh, my book's upstairs. Bhagavad Gita book. Maybe it's the first chapter actually. Krishna says that, Arjuna says that I wouldn't be happy even if I got an unrivaled kingdom. Sapatnam riddham rajam suranam apichari patyam. Anyway, you get the idea. That's the relevant part of the verse. Even if I got an unrivaled kingdom, I wouldn't be happy if it was at the expense of the lives of Bhishma. Katam Bhishma Maham Drone. Katam Bhishma Maham Drona. Like that. How could I kill Bhishma, Drona, all of my friends and superiors and relatives? Even if I won an unrivaled kingdom. So here, he had it. Parikshit Maharaj, without even having to work for it, he inherited an unrivaled kingdom, opulences that no one could surpass, from his grandfather, Maharaj Yudhisthira. So, Dushyajan, insuperable. And Yuva, he was young. Aishita. So how could he give up all of these things and his life? How is it possible? Shivaya, for their own benefit, the kings would surrender to Parikshit Maharaj. So the living entities also, they should surrender to Krishna for their own benefit. They're not going to surpass his opulence. They're not going to defeat his administration. So Krishna says, surrender. And they say, no, I'm going to go on fighting. But Krishna doesn't need our surrender. You surrender or not surrender. Who cares about one small punk like you? What's it to Krishna? Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma. He's got thousands of Lakshmis. All the demigods are praising him and offering him their respects. In the 11th chapter, we find they're all praising the Lord. So then what does he care about the surrender of some insignificant fool like us? But it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. When we surrender to Krishna, what's it to Krishna? Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vishishyate. But when we surrender, without Krishna, without us, Krishna is still complete. You go in anywhere and do what you want, and Krishna is still Purna. But if we do that, then we're incomplete. Not only incomplete, but broken. Like the watch hand that's not in the watch. When it's in the watch, it's valuable. When it's lying on the floor, it's useless. And the hand, when it's serving the body, is useful. Cut it off and do what you want with it. It's useless. So when we're connected with Krishna, then our life has value, our life has meaning, our life is fortunate. Shiva means fortunate. So it's for our own good fortune that Krishna advises us, sarvatarman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam braja. So we should do that. All right, some questions or comments.